Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Georgie Courage-Cole, and welcome to today's Sherlock's Middle East, our first Sherlock's Middle East podcast. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
I am so thrilled to be here, to be joined by Lemma Alguer.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to hear a little bit more about you and your story in a moment by Frankie Hilton, Sherlock's operations, business development, partner, team member on the ground. It's early days, you've been amazing. We're thrilled to be working with you and by the brilliant Zainab Al-Ibrahim. Welcome, Zainab. You're the founder of the brilliant Cactus District. Yes. We've crossed paths quite a lot now, is lovely. We first met
in Dubai.
In Dubai.
I remember, I just bumped into you.
Yeah, you were like, are you sure?
I know you. Yes. I've seen you.
Yes, and here we are. It's meant to be. I have to say, I was really fascinated because this is my third trip. Well, I did a day, and then Elaine, my colleague, and I came back in November for 3 days, and then here we are again. So, sort of second, technically my third. But today, even on this flight, it felt like there were more English internationals on the flight than ever. I feel like the first time I came, I just didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. We arrived here sort of by chance, filming our Leading Ladies series. We thought we were filming six women in the UAE. Mm-hmm. We then discovered that one of them was your wonderful Yara Al-Namla, who is a bit of a treasure in Saudi. And a week before, we suddenly were like, right, we're going to Saudi. And I was just totally blown away by this place, and I felt so lucky to be here because the plan for Sherlock's in the Middle East had always been Saudi. That was so interesting to me when I started sort of researching and talking to people and meetings, but I sort of thought, right, I'll start in the UAE and get my head around that, and then I'll tackle Saudi. Anyway, I ended up here much sooner than I anticipated.
So and happy that you're here. There's so much going on. And I feel like ever since, from November till now, things also changed.
Yeah.
You noticed that?
Yes.
It's rapid. It's crazy.
It's the fastest changing country I've ever known. It's so quick.
And here we are now. We had a wonderful dinner last night.
Absolutely.
It was great.
It was amazing.
Thank you all.
We loved it.
We had some brilliantly inspiring, interesting, cool, glamorous Saudi women.
I know. And we met in dinner.
First time you've met?
Absolutely.
No, we're best friends now.
Your friends for life. Your friends for life.
That's how I feel about her. So, yeah.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Absolutely. I loved it.
Let's talk a little bit more. Lemma, tell us about you.
So I just graduated from finance, which I hated. I know hate is a strong word, but I did.
Sorry. Oh my God.
Should I just me? No, you're separated. You're not going to look it otherwise.
Because I didn't like the fact that I was staying behind a computer and just crunching numbers and not talking to people, and I'm such a people's person.
And Lemma, are you from Riyadh?
I am from Riyadh. I'm from the capital, born and raised. My family, my heritage, everything is actually from the Najd region, which is the central of Saudi Arabia. And I've loved Riyadh ever since I was born. I went to school here. I graduated from here.
And you went to university here?
I actually went to university in Lebanon and then came back and continued my studies here in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you went into banking?
I went into an investment banking place, and I was like, no, I want something with people. I want something with more meaning. And I started my job at a nonprofit organization that focuses on social entrepreneurship. Amazing. And we created a fellowship program for that, and it was amazing, and I loved it. And all my networks, amazing network and network of people that I know today, is from that, my first official job, which is the nonprofit organization.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And what is that not for profit?
It's called Tasami. Shout out to Lujain, whom I love. Lujain Al-Ibed is a very prominent lady in Saudi Arabia. She has been doing work in nonprofit for nonprofit organizations for years, ever since she was young, her and her mom, Auntie Latifa, who are amazing. And she's been the voice for all these nonprofit organizations making change and making an impact.
And also the traveling. Last night I was learning so much about
traveling.
Absolutely,
yeah. So my current job requires me to travel a lot, to meet a lot of people around the world and try to push Saudi companies to go to these countries abroad and bring in countries from abroad, investors from abroad to Saudi Arabia, because, you know, we have a lot of opportunities, a lot of projects. We don't have, like, just the oil and gas, the energy sectors. We also have projects in fashion, in entertainment, in esports, in gaming. It's just, as you just mentioned earlier, Saudi's growing, and a month to a month, you feel like you're in a new chapter in that book of Saudi ever-changing book. And I see people's eyes sparkling, and it's not just, come, we'll show you. No, come, we'll show you, and we'll do something. Yeah. And that's what I love.
It's such a can-do attitude, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the whole region, and particularly here, is everyone is going for it and choosing to go for it, and the possibilities are endless. And
absolutely.
Coming from the UK, you can. It feels really alive and different and a really inspiring.
It's a wave of change, and everybody wants to get on it. And yeah. We would tailor things for people just to bring them and see how we can experiment. And it's not like, it didn't work the first time, so we're not going to do it. No, we're going to try a second and third. And if it doesn't suit us, then maybe move on to the second things. And yeah. That's how it works. Yeah. So, yeah.
Zainab.
Hi.
I feel like, yeah, we've met several times now.
I know, right?
And here you are on a podcast, which is amazing. And, I mean, you run the brilliant Cactus District, which
yes.
is so well known. Congratulations.
Thank you so
on
much.
That.
Thank you
tell
so
us,
much.
Tell us a bit about your heritage, your background, how you started that.
Sure. So I'm like both my parents are Saudi, but I was born in Bahrain. I move a lot between Bahrain and Riyadh, mostly for work and for my friends. For Cactus District, I started it, like as Lama said, Tara, we have the same thing, because I graduated with a degree in finance and I hated finance because I hate desk jobs. And I was
so
actually so bad
so
at it.
So many of the women that I've met though started, it's funny, isn't it? How you like
with
start with, get the degree yes. and then go and follow your passion.
Because when I yeah. heard finance, I was like, yeah, that's what's going to make me a lot of money. So yeah.
And where did you study?
In Sharjah, in the American University in Sharjah. So that like that's very close to Dubai. I worked in a bank for like 2-3 months, that's it.
That
and then
enough.
That's it. And then I was like, no, I need to do something else. So I worked in a PR and events agency. And then I stayed in the PR events branding agency for around 6-7 years. And then I decided to quit my job. Last, I was a marketing manager in an agency in Bahrain. So when I quit my job, I decided to start Cactus District because I loved fashion and I love events. Like, I'm passionate about events. That's what I love to do. So it just made sense for me to create something that combines both. So I think it's been like 5 years almost. We've done around 15 editions. I personally love to shop and love to go to these pop-ups and exhibitions and all of that. And I noticed like whenever I go to these exhibitions, there's always the exact same set of brands. So if I attend an exhibition in Bahrain or Kuwait or Saudi, it's always the same set of designers. So I wanted to get something different, something yeah. from outside, something
some
something that you can't just
well.
Order from Instagram yeah. or like online and you get it on the same day.
Well,
yeah,
congratulations.
So.
It's brilliant. And
thank you so
for
much.
For me, you're combining events, women, fashion, discovery.
Yes, amazing.
It's a dream, and I know it's really well respected, so
thank you so much. Thank
you. Frankie, our Norfolk
yes.
British girl
Ooh,
over
Saudi,
here.
Yeah.
Can I, before you say anything, can I say that Frankie approached us, and when we came to Saudi and knew nobody other than Yara, who's been phenomenally supportive, and
yeah. Do you know what it was?
It's been such a joy to work with you.
Oh, thank you. I saw that you were coming over, and I knew that Saudi, obviously you've said now, and it was on your plan. Originally, it was obviously the Dubai leading ladies in the Dubai plan. And I'm in Saudi, and I was like, oh no, Saudi, Saudi, Georgie, Saudi. So I'm so glad you have joined that, and you're happy to be in Saudi. And it's amazing. We were
so
on the same like vibe with it, so that's really good.
Someone said at dinner last night, they said, she said, I really liked what you said, but she was like, shh. I feel like Saudi is the region's best kept secret. Don't tell the rest of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, but I need you because in the UK, everyone is, and you must get this all the time,
yep.
but everyone is like, you're going to Saudi.
Yeah.
Like, what's it like there? And, And, you know, I understand that because the you know, we are a product. We know what we've been taught by the media and by the people around us. And so you can understand, but it's so exciting to be here and feel it and know what everyone's missing out on. I'm wanting to bring everyone together. And here you are, you've experienced it firsthand. So,
and I came to your offices, didn't I? And I did a talk. So, and I got in and it was the whole Sheerlux London office team one room. And I was like, oh my goodness.
I know.
But I did it and presented on all things Saudi and how much I love being here and what it looks like and the changes. And the reception was amazing.
It was, it really was.
Yeah, like they were so excited.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I was curious initially about the region, and that's what started me off on this path with Sheerlux here. So, you know, that curious mind, I always say, is so important to have in life, isn't it? To always want to keep learning and discovering.
And it tells a lot about you and how open-minded you are and how your curiosity got you to a region where some people maybe...
You said this to me last night, didn't you?
Yeah, and it's amazing. Oh. So it goes back to also to you and who you are as a person.
Oh, that's
so thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So Frankie, you were an expat in Dubai initially.
Yeah, so 5 years in Dubai. So I was there. I got originally approached by Harvey Nichols and I'd never been to Dubai. I'd never been to the Middle East. And I just went, well, you can't turn down Harvey Nichols. I'm going. So I got on the plane. My husband, my boyfriend at the time, this was 10 years ago.
Oh, okay, nice.
And my boyfriend didn't come with me. And he was coming on the next flight. So I flew in on my own. I honestly cried the whole flight. I was so scared. I'd never heard the call to prayer. I'd never been to the Middle East. So when I got off the plane, I was like, oh, this is so different to me. And then my other half at the time, he was on the flight behind me coming out and we didn't cross paths. So it was like I'd gone on my own and he'd stood me up. I thought he wasn't coming, but he just had a confusion at the airport. But I was standing in Dubai on my own.
Oh, I see, you thought you were on the same flight.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm here on my own. This is it. So it's all like terrifying at the beginning. So there for 5 years. And then my husband got offered a job here. And
is the guy that you thought stood you up
he's
now
my husband
your husband?
Yeah, he's stayed, he's stuck. So here's my husband now, and he got an email at his work saying, does anyone want to go to Saudi Arabia? And he emailed back saying yes, but didn't tell me. So then it came through, and he was like, surprise, we're moving to Saudi, like really fast. okay, but I couldn't say anything
because
I'd moved him to Dubai, so then I couldn't then say I'm not going to Saudi.
Had he already been here?
I don't think he had at the time, so he did a year on, year off. So then he would fly back to me in Dubai every weekend. Mm-hmm. But then I got pregnant and knew we wanted the family to be together, so me and the baby moved here.
But you said you're never leaving.
I'm never leaving now, no, this is it now. But maybe Jeddah, we've talked about maybe one day would be nice to be by the sea again.
Absolutely. I hear amazing things about Jeddah.
It's amazing.
Somebody likened Jeddah, I thought this was a good analogy, they liken Riyadh to New York and Jeddah to California.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which I thought makes sense.
And it's like style, mentality, like vibe.
A lot of creatives there. We're discovering quite a lot of people in our industry. Mm-hmm. Are there, so I'm excited to go. And it's by the beach, isn't it? And palm trees.
And it's beautiful.
Someone else said Miami.
Oh, there you go.
Actually, quite true.
And Frankie, life here as a British expat, I mean, you said when you came and did your talk that 5 years ago, you were the first white English woman on your compound, you were the first woman out of the compound.
Well, I was the first, the compounds historically were where all the expats were. And when I first moved, I don't know if you remember, but it was quite military to get into the compounds. So there was a military component before there was a security component to then get into these compounds. So it's again quite alien. Mm-hmm. And no one left the compounds really. This is what I really struggled
with. Sorry, that was it. You were the first to leave, sorry.
And so I just couldn't sit with that. It just didn't feel right. And I knew there was a whole city outside these walls. So then Corona hit and then we were locked into the compounds and that was that. And then afterwards I just said, right, time to get out. And so for the last few years, I've been out all the time because the city is amazing. The Riyadh Guide has come off the back of this.
Oh, we launched our Sheerlux Riyadh Guide.
I've seen it.
Yes, I got to wear the dress last night. That was
the Abadia dress.
Yeah, that Abadia.
I love it.
It's a great dress, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Thank you, Abadia. I was honoured to wear it. And you worked so hard with our team in the UK.
But that's me being out, and that's something that I still struggle with the expat community here with that. Like, you will, if you come here and you stay in four walls, you are not going to settle in. So people say, how do you do it? How do you love being here so much? I say, I get out. I meet the locals. I enjoy the local experience. I go to the restaurants. I embrace the city.
And you seem to have as well expat friends, and you seem to have a lot of local friends.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, the difference between Dubai and here. I've got my best friends are Saudi, and I feel like obviously there's a difference in ratio, expats versus locals here versus there, but I've never met people that love their country more than Saudis, and I love you. And I love that nature, like you've embraced me, you've pulled me in, and I just think it's amazing. So I'm so happy to be here.
It makes me so emotional hearing that, because I truly think that back home where I'm from, people just don't have a clue. Like, they have no idea. There is such a misconception, preconceptions about what it's like and the people.
The kindest people
I've ever met. And it's just not what you think. Mm. That's all I can say. If you're listening or watching from the UK, then come and see for yourself.
You're going to make me cry.
I know, but no, I feel so emotional, and I'm like, you might not know it yet, but you're all coming, and we're all going to be here, and this country has so much to offer. I mean, the things that are being announced, and, you know, there are also some people that are quite cynical about it. I actually watched an interview. It was MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, who is the ruler here, the Crown Prince. I watched his first interview, which you sent me with Fox, and I thought he was phenomenal, and you can be cynical. And I think it's worth saying this actually on the podcast, because people in the UK will be cynical, some of them. And you can be a bit cynical, or you can say, look at the progress, and there are 36 million people here, and they deserve every opportunity that's going to come their way, as everybody does. And he responded to a question about sports washing. And the journalist said, you know, how do you respond to people who say you're sports washing? What's meant by this term is he spent a lot of money bringing amazing sporting events, some of the biggest sporting events here. He's massively into Formula One, the tennis. You know, he's also doing loads for women's tennis and for F1 for women, although it's not quite F1, is it? But anyway. And his response was, I mean, I love sport. What's the problem? And I was like, great, if you can do that, why not? And someone said, they've got sports washing for men, and for women they need chillax. And I was like, well, actually I really like sports, so let's be careful, but I'll take that. But I loved his answer, and I thought, you know, you've got a guy who's incredibly warm and is doing amazing, amazing things, and I just, have huge respect for that. I mean, you were saying last night you were involved somehow in Saudi 2030 and Vision 2030. Yeah. So there is this huge drive, isn't there, for 2030?
Absolutely. I think I see it as a big project, and that's how I view 2030 Vision. And I think at the beginning there were like some people who were cynical about it. They were skeptical about everything that is going on, if it's going to go well or not. And then just being part of it and having everyone in a few years come in for the ride and the passion. When you see me in the place that I work in, you see people glowing. We could be working for 16 hours a day to 18 hours a day, but people are still driven by that passion because things started to happen. First it was theory, and then no, actual things are happening, because now I can be someone that I identify myself as a pedestrian in Riyadh. That's something that I couldn't happen before. Like, as simple as that, I can open my door and I walk in the neighborhood, walk my dog, and now my dog and my cat for some odd reason. But
you walk your cat too?
Because it loves it.
So nice. On a lead? Stop. Do you actually?
I do. I'm one of those people, unfortunately. Yeah. Pretend that you did not hear that. But the thing is, it's little things. And also art and design came into the picture. And it's just beautified everything, and everything is pretty and nice. But everyone is into like the ride. Everybody's in. And now with the Expo file, I think everybody is just super excited.
Okay, so for people who are listening in the UK, can you explain what Vision 2030 is? What Expo means? Just to give it some context.
So Vision 2030 is simple as it's done for the people of Saudi. As you mentioned, Prince Mohammed bin Salman had a vision, and King Salman, of course, and they had a vision for the country. And the country is driven by youth. As of course Zainab, we know, it's like 60% under 30. We want to have more opportunities, create more jobs, create more impact, do something that you would walk around and be like, so proud of being part of this country, I want to change. And it created opportunities in so many different fields. I can be like, I want to be a technician in just one eyebrow, and I can be that, and I can have a full career doing that. It's not necessarily something that you need to do that is hardcore and is just like, and also we wanted to showcase that Saudi is not only oil and gas, oil actually, and now oil, gas, energy, it's more than that. And it, we wanted to create a, cater a Saudi to every different Saudi. We have so many regions of Saudi Arabia. If you go to the north, it's so different than the
many.
South.
I mean, my dream is to create a Discover Saudi with Sherlock video series.
You will love it. Around. It's because completely different.
It's just, there is so much.
There's mountains, there's oases.
It's only 40% desert, by the way. 60% is not desert in Saudi, and people assume it's Arabian nights, like Arabian days, and Agrabah for some odd reason. It's not. It's actually, but when you go even in Riyadh as a city, if you go to the north of Riyadh, it's completely different than the south of Riyadh. And you
even
find
the
it
sand
quite
changes as well.
Absolutely. Like absolutely. Yeah. So when you go around Saudi, you'll see so many offerings. It's just beautiful. And that's what Vision 2030 is. It's just create a space and a place where you go out and about and live comfortably and have a better life.
It's a timeline as well,
absolutely,
isn't it? It was essentially, this is a realistic amount of time for us to achieve certain goals.
What is it?
One of them being, yes?
I feel.
It didn't. When they announced 2030, we were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? 2030, not a lot of time.
Yeah.
Because you want it to be like Singapore.
But it was like 2030, we're going to do X, Y, Z. I mean, tick, 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 tick. Yes. It's happening.
It is.
Right?
It is,
and what's fascinating is like, I was reading about the tourism goals, like already you're ahead, way ahead of where you wanted to be, you know, you're going to smash the goal for 2030.
And people were always questioning, why do you start with entertainment and sports? But if you take a, like if you sit back and think about it, entertainment and sports is the key to any country. Like that's how you start, and it's the fast like deliverable that you get, and then you work. It falls into culture. It falls into different sectors.
Because when people come for a football match, for example, they'll then stay and they'll want to explore and go and look around.
Absolutely.
So it's a good way to get people in, like you say.
Yeah.
And the football 2034, correct?
That's the World Cup.
Yes,
right?
the World Cup. The World Cup.
Yeah.
But it's all good luck. In like
good
a week,
luck when all
it?
The breaks
but we have,
come.
Yeah. We have like the winter Olympics in 2027, 2029, something like that.
Do you?
In Trojena, in north of Saudi Arabia.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You touched on fashion and beauty. The fashion and beauty scene here is amazing. I feel like we need a quick moment for your stunning abaya.
Thank you so much. I met your sister last night.
So your business partners, although I was, you're sort of more of a silent partner.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we started the brand in 2009 and had an official boutique. It was an eclectic shop. In 2010 when we closed it in COVID. And that idea started with my sister Lubna, who's very passionate in design and beautiful things in general.
She's very cool. She is.
She is.
The two of you are quite a duo.
And if you meet the third sister, she's like the coolest, and she's been living abroad her whole life. So the brand started with an idea that we wanted to create something, us sisters together. And the name of the brand is Sit Ad-Dar, which is Lady of the House. And it was a song that my grandmother, who was Lebanese, used to sing to us. We took that. And we put it into Sit Ad-Dar, and Dragonfly is because it's free, it's nice, and it travels around. So that's how the dragonfly logo came in.
Right.
So yeah, it's a golden.
Where can you get it now? Online?
You can get it online, of course, through a WhatsApp number, and you just text them, and they send you like the lookbooks. And yeah, and then we now ventured into a lifestyle brand and an event management company, and we really enjoy it. And I'm a silent partner right now because my job is quite hectic, but I do help every now and then. I do, I promise.
Well, so, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Just stunning. You and your sister were a total vision last night,
Thank you so much.
And this is this a recent bias? Is it a new design?
Yeah, so every collection is inspired by either a culture or a Saudi culture, either regional or a culture in general. Like we had even a collection with the Mexican embassy to portray the Saudi-Mexican relationship. But this one that I'm wearing right now is a collection from Ad-Dir'iyya. Ad-Dir'iyya is the heart of Riyadh. Triangles are portraits of the triangles that you see on old Riyadh homes. And it's called Lahj and Luhuj. And then you see the camels and the palm trees that represent Saudi.
Stunning. Stunning. Absolutely fabulous. Frankie, can we talk to you? You're looking gorgeous.
Thank you. As always,
you were wearing the most stunning dress last night.
Oh, Kai. Yeah, thank you.
It was lovely. They're gorgeous.
And everyone at the event was wanting to buy it, so that's amazing.
I know, they're amazing. Their designs are amazing.
Incredible. You just bought loads for the Ramadan collection.
Yeah, half of my closet is Kai, so I'm Ramadan. So nice.
Really? So how's it spelled?
K-A-I.
Elaine and I, on our last trip, had lunch with the wonderful Sarah from MISC, who was at our event last night. I love her, and everyone's like, she's
amazing.
She's
amazing.
A dream. Sarah Al-Fayez is her name.
Yes.
She's amazing. She has been so supportive. We're really lucky that she's actually followed Sherlux for years. So when she heard that we were in this region, she messaged me. So I feel really lucky.
She's the one who invited me to your event.
I know. She's amazing. So yeah, thank you for everything she said. She listens to all our podcasts. So if you're listening, we adore you, and she's super chic. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing. But when we had lunch, she said, this was in November, she said to Elaine and I, she said, if I achieve one thing in my career, it's that will make me truly happy, it is that the rest of the world knows that Saudi is open, that women are free, and that you can wear what you want. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, that's simple. We can help with that. Mm-hmm. How do you feel as a Western woman here, dressing? I think it's really interesting for people because, you know, some people choose to wear the niqab. Many women wear abayas and hijabs. More and more women are choosing not to, aren't they? Mm. And I was at an event yesterday, the Shalhoub event, and he was saying, slowly, slowly, the abaya is coming off. Mm. That's not to say that there won't be women that choose to wear it and that it's beautiful. Yeah. But really, that's
the option.
There's the freedom, right? Do you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I first moved here, not necessarily compulsory, but everyone was an abaya as an expat. So I bought all these abayas when I first moved here, and then over the years, obviously, that's changed. But my style is very oversized anyway. We were talking earlier, like, I like things always to be bigger. So for me, it hasn't really been a shock. Like, I'm a modest dresser anyway. So I love just walking around and that being the style of everyone, and I still get style inspiration from people, and I still see that.
Last night, I wore a long dress, and I was like, this is fabulous. You know, when do you get? And I was going to wear this lovely suit. Shout out to Florae. I was going to wear this. And then I was like, I'm in Saudi and it's the evening. And I'm just going to embrace long. It's very elegant style here, isn't it?
And also in the compounds, we don't cover. So we've got the pools and we have the bikinis and we can, you know, wear as we wish there. So for me, it's just when we're out for dinner. It's just actually, it's my style anyway. So I don't really mind.
You look great.
Thank you.
Cool as always.
Thank you so much.
Amazing last night.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what you're wearing today? I love this look.
Yes,
this is very Esther. This is sort of what everyone in London will be wearing today.
Really?
Basically, okay. A variation of this. Sometimes we look around and we're like, we need to mix it up, ladies.
I'm just wearing my Bugatti denim pants.
Can I say Zara. These jeans.
I love them.
That Reem tried on when we did her episode, and she was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
They're my favorite pair.
That's such
I love them.
So
and
good.
The shade, I love that shade of blue. So Bagasse denim pants, Zara boots, and then I have this.
Can we just see the boots?
Sure.
How long are they?
Like ankle. I know,
they're
right?
Really cool.
They're
are they
so
new?
Comfortable. No, they're really old.
Oh.
But they're super comfortable. So.
Well, that's a waste of time, isn't it?
I love them. Frankie shop blazer and just a basic Zara top.
And?
Oh, and Apollo earrings.
So cool.
So beautiful.
Can I ask you about, you say Bahrain?
Yes. So I live in Bahrain. I was born in Bahrain.
Right. And quite a few people live there, work here, go between the two. It's very close. What's the journey? You said it's 4 hours.
It's 4 hours away, so I usually drive.
And what is Bahrain like?
It's super chill. There's not much going on, which I love.
It's so small. Like,
is it?
It's tiny.
So small.
What's the jewel?
Yeah.
I love it. It has so much to offer.
Really?
Amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It has a lot of like culture as well, so you have to pass by to check it out. There's not much going on, which I love, because I travel a lot to Riyadh and Dubai, and I work a lot here, so I feel like living between here and Bahrain is the perfect balance for me. Like, it's a bit crazy, and I sometimes get overwhelmed here with everything that's going on, which is amazing, alhamdulillah, but because it's also super slow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an island.
Oh. Yeah. It's like down a causeway.
What are your other favourite spots, places to go in Riyadh? Tell us about what you love about Riyadh, life in Riyadh.
There are two spots that I always go to, and if you lose me, you're gonna find me there.
Okay. So if she defriends you,
yeah.
If you're like, where is my new best friend?
I'll be there. I'm either at a tea cafe in the center of Riyadh. It's called Dira. Dira means village. It's where the Masmak Fortress is. It's where all Saudi Arabia started. It's an amazing place. It's very authentic. You go into Fortress and see the museum in the Fortress, and then you go out, have like very casual tea and some local desserts. And then you go to an old souk.
Yeah, the souks.
And you see it's
the jewelry. Beautiful.
Oh my God, it's really nice.
Yeah.
And there's a famous gold souk there, and the jewelry there is just beautiful. And then you go out and then you move around and about, and you see all these old, authentic shops.
I went and bought a fawa.
Yeah.
It's like a really, really heavy jacket. Saudis wear it because it's cold here. And I went to the old suit to get one.
Yeah, because it does get cold here sometimes.
When does it get cold?
This year we didn't have winter, but last year it was like a disaster of a weather because it's very dry and it's like 3 degrees. Yeah. So
does it ever rain?
Yes.
Last year we had like really amazing rainy season, but not this year, unfortunately.
I think it's rained once.
Yeah, this year it's a dry year, to be honest.
But maybe it's coming, let's not like...
Inshallah, it's coming, inshallah. No. If God wills,
do
it's coming.
We don't want it.
The planet.
We do. We really do. We really do.
Because the roads are hilarious. So you're driving along in the rain, and obviously I'm okay. I've got my windscreen wipers going. I'm good. I'm British.
Well, you're not okay.
Oh, no, the car.
Because
yesterday.
I have to just tell you.
It's still there. It's still there.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, wherever it is.
Did you hear what happened?
No.
Yesterday, we were driving from the Shaloub event to the matches event, and as we were driving along, we could hear this like gring, 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 gring. And at first, I think we all assumed it was the road, and then we turned onto another bit of road, gring, 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 gring. And I remember thinking, I wonder if this is going to pass. And I think Elaine and Eloise looked at each other and they were like,
I was oblivious, by the way. I was driving, I was happy chatting. But oh my goodness, my tyres popped.
Well, no, that's not what happened. Elaine said, Frankie.
Something's happened.
You can't.
Something's quite wrong.
Gring, 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 gring. Basically, it flat. Something
gone.
Happened.
Yeah.
I mean, we are talking. I loved it when she called her husband. She said, yeah, the tyres popped. I was like, oh. I was like, dead as a freaking dodo. I mean, we are talking
completely
now
that
she's basically driving an alloy around.
You should have used the Murni app.
Can you help me after this?
Yes, of
because
course.
We still
of
don't
course.
Have my
There's
car.
An app for everything, by the
so
way.
So her car is
somewhere.
She said to her husband it was in a sand bin.
It was like a sandy bin.
No, she quirked it like randomly.
Yeah.
Well, we happen to be near
a sandy bin.
Yeah.
Understandable. What can you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just gonna give you the app. You can call them. They pick your car. They fix your tires and they bring it back.
This is who I
need. Yeah.
You were so cool. So. Given that she's been helping us with our itinerary,
like,
and she was taking us from one to the other to get our hair done for our event last night, we were on a really tight schedule behind time. And anyway, the tyre We got out of the car.
It's an adventure.
And you know, we were right near Kaft, so we could see Kaft, which is where the Matches event was, and we were here, and we were all a bit like, could we get there?
No. I was like, no, we cannot. That is a motorway. Absolutely not.
The road's here.
No.
So we didn't. We got
don't worry.
Uber.
I was like,
we went round.
Let me think about that. No.
And the car's still there. So, yeah, I don't know how.
So technically, when it rains, you don't have a car with windscreen wipers.
No, you get a jet ski out.
Yeah, they do.
That's what you do.
In Jeddah, they really do, don't they?
In Jeddah, they really do.
They actually get the boats and jet skis and like go along.
On the roads.
It floods so
on the roads.
Oh my God. Gosh. So, you were saying your favourite places.
So, yeah, that is one of them. And the other one is in Dir'iya. It's called Al-Bjeri. Al-Bjeri is where the royal family are. Dir'iya is where the royal family and some of the most prominent Saudi families are from.
Dir'iya is where we see in the UK.
You see the picture.
All the ads. Signs,
the skyline.
And it says Dir'iya. This is why Sherlock needs to do a Discover Saudi video series. Because there's not a lot of context for us, but I'm like, they are missing a trick because Dir'iya is the most beautiful, beautiful,
amazing energy, amazing restaurants,
just
Bajari aesthetically beautiful. You're there and you're automatically feeling better and happy. If you go there just for a coffee, just walking around,
Flamingo
Room is beautifully done.
So Bajari Towers, for people listening, so Dir'iya is this old.
It's like a district in Riyadh.
District?
Yes. And it's like an old town where a lot of people used to live. And you have like homes from 300 years, over 300 years. They're mud homes. And some of the first Saudi founders from the royal family had their old homes there. And it's a place that you go about and just walk around the area, have a drink, have great food. There are Saudi restaurants there, like local food, and there are international restaurants there. And it's just a beautiful space and place. And they hold some events there, specifically like national and historical,
history-related events. There.
And you know, if you were coming here for a city break, wow, it is buzzing. And
absolutely.
There's like music happening and great restaurants. Frankie, a couple of your favourite spots in Riyadh.
100% Carbone, which is here, Mansard. Please go, everyone.
Yes, a couple of people have said it's their favourite restaurant.
Good. Carbone, have you been?
I've never been.
Oh my gosh, guys. It's just the best food, the best ambiance, the best restaurant in Riyadh, for sure. Signal Sassy. Signal Sassy.
I went to the one in Dubai, which is new.
Amazing.
Yes.
And fabulous, and the mugs that their cocktails come in are really cool.
Yes, and just, like a really good vibe. I feel like now as well, being here so long, originally when I got here, there just wasn't this scene of restaurants, whereas there's so much choice, and
so
I just love
options.
It.
So many.
It's not that's so funny. Great for not eating all the calories, but I just love it.
Yeah.
Joe last and the night. Juice as well, that's my last one. Like, I just live there, and they've got a drive through, so it's just so easy.
It's very convenient.
Yes, so easy.
Very convenient.
Such. Love, love, love. I love how huge Joe and the Juice is in the region. I mean, it's big in London, but I feel like here, whole nother level.
I love it.
Zainab, what about you?
It's a tie between Roka and LPM.
No. Like, I have Roka, to say, I'm lucky Roka. Enough to have been to both.
Yeah, I love Roka and LPM
Me
both.
Me too. LPM is just the tomatoes on the table.
Exactly. Yes. Oh my God.
They do a really good, a bit like, do you know what a Bloody Mary is, the drink?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is one of my favourite drinks. And when you're a bit hungry and you go to a restaurant, but they do, Elaine and I asked for a Virgin Mary. It wasn't a Virgin Mary, but it was a tomato-based, I think it was called a tomatini or something like that. It was, because quite a lot of mocktails here are quite sweet, and this was not. It was so good. Mm. So if you go to
try it,
you'd get a great mocktails and cocktails in Miyazo restaurant as well. Mm-hmm. They do it greatly. And great food. Great food as well.
Ladies, I feel like we could talk and talk. We need to do a part two of this, but I'm going to get into trouble if I don't ask you some quick fire questions. Can you give me, other than Sitab Dar, which is wonderful, one other Saudi fashion brand that you love?
Abadia, the one that you were wearing yesterday.
Thank you, Frankie. This is like quick fire.
Yeah, mine's Leem. They've just done a collaboration with Opoa, and Ray Joseph was the campaign model, and it's just, their Ramadan collection is beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
For me, I'd say Abadia as well. Like, I love Shahed, and we work with her a lot.
and I can also say El Anoud Salem. Her pieces are stunning.
Can you give me an amazing woman to follow in Saudi?
Well, I love the content of Njud Rmihi. I really like it. I like the journey that she gets us to in her account.
Oh!
Yeah.
We're doing a podcast with her tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, she was what I was going to say.
Yeah. Njud Rmihi and Hissa Al-Ajaji.
Hissa Al-Ajaji for sure.
Yeah, she's amazing. Can you tell me your ride or die, one old, one new beauty product each that you love?
New, definitely the Moon Glaze highlighter.
This is Yara Al
Namla's new today.
Launch, which is sold out, Rage. But you've got the dewy one on this too.
One is called Glazed and the other is called Gilded. This is Glazed. It's more pinky, but when you apply it, it gives you more of a dewy, glowy look.
Can I say I could listen to your voice for hours?
Thank you.
Could you come and tell me bedtime stories? Zainab, Eloise is saying she listened to three calm podcasts trying to get to them. We need Zainab to come and just
tell me about wonderful things and products.
Read me a book.
I'll be obviously so. Read me Vogue. I'd be so happy. And
so that's the new.
The new.
Yeah.
And the old. Anything you absolutely love.
The Benetint.
Good one. You're getting skin. Okay, Frankie.
Sasha Jouan Ocean Mist Spray is my old go-to. That it just keeps my curls in like nothing else. And my new would have been the Moon Glaze, or I love Hand Makeup Brushes.
Yes,
which is Hessa. Yeah, yes. So she's amazing. She's a local makeup artist and she does makeup brushes.
Okay, we'll put all the links in the show notes. Lemma.
From the old ones, Ruby Wood Red Lipstick from MAC. I cannot live without it. I
can imagine that looking mega on you.
On the planet, not today, obviously. And for the new products, I think Charlotte Tilbury, the wands, I love them. They make you look good, even if you're like makeup free. You just have them on, you look fresh and glowy and nice.
What are you watching right now? Netflix?
Just finished One Day.
Oh, have you really?
And I cried my heart out. Oh. And I was like so frustrated. I really don't like it because it made me angry.
I know, I feel that way.
But it was amazing.
I said to Eloise last night, I said, what do you think?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Is it that good?
I've read the book, I watched the old movie from Anne Hathaway, and now I watch the series.
So you know the end.
I know the end, and I'm like,
are you still crying?
I'm like, maybe they would change it. But no.
Give me a B. Give me two. Let me choose which ending.
Thank you so much. Let me choose. Let me click it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Can I tell you a secret? Have you seen this on Netflix? And it's about a cyber hacker who goes in and takes out all these women's accounts and pretends to be them and messages like their uncle and their, and like all these weird.
Ooh,
it's so sick. And it's two episodes and it's just came out on Netflix. And me and my husband watched it all in one night because we were like, this can't be real. Wow. But it's real. Can I tell you a secret?
Okay.
Check that out.
Zainab, you said you're too busy. You keep watching old films. What are you watching?
I keep on re-watching stuff because I don't want to use any brain cells when I rest. So I have re-watched The Devil Wears Prada a lot, Princess Diaries.
I made my daughter, who's 13, watch The Devil Wears Prada.
I love it.
She loved it.
I love it. La La Land, for sure. It's my favorite movie.
Oh, I love it.
Like, I just re-watch all these movies over and over again.
I have just watched Griselda.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I heard a lot about it.
I mean, let me tell you, Griselda is grisly. It is freaking grisly.
But Sophia did really well, right? Because that's not her, like, usual character.
Well, I know. I didn't realise. At the beginning, I was like, her acting is... I mean, it's grisly. The great thing about it is, it's six parts, and there is a hard stop. There will be no Griselda series two. It's over. It's really good. I love Narcos. It's my favorite, one of my favorite things ever. Yeah. It's brilliant. Ladies, one thing to finish that you are excited about that's coming for this country, for you, for Riyadh.
It's going to be still related to my job. Expo 2030 is something that I'm really looking forward to.
Why?
Because it's a project that we're all working on. And it's exciting, and it's going to bring a lot of things to Saudi, and I think it's also going to showcase Saudi, how Saudi is, and I'm going to be able to show off my country in a very marvelous way. So I'm very excited for that journey.
I love how many people here say, you know, we've been to you, it's your turn, let us host you, come to us.
Yeah.
And so Bring on Expo. It's very exciting that, that you have it for 2030. Frankie?
Do you know what? Mine's sheer luck being here, honestly. Oh. I am so excited. From the moment we started messaging, I am so excited that you are giving me the opportunity to show this country and me being here and what this is going to look like for the next few years. I'm here forever now, so let's utilise that.
We will.
So I feel like I'm just really excited for what Sheer Luxe Middle East is going to be here.
You're all round lovely, so we're thrilled. Thrilled. We like nice people at Sheer Luxe, so we're thrilled to be working with you. Zeynab, leave us with...
So many things. So I'm excited about our upcoming event.
Yes, which is in beginning of March.
So it's a collaboration, Cactus District X Moaz.
An amazing edit of brands from Apoa to...
Like international,
sporty, local, rich, yeah. To, you yeah. know, it's really very, very cool. And it's amazing that you're doing your event there.
Congratulations. I'm super excited. They're an amazing team. The space is amazing. And this is our 15th edition, so I'm actually looking forward to that.
Ladies, it has been the most almighty pleasure. I can't thank you. I knew this was going to be a great...
Thank you, it was amazing.
Trio.
So
thank you for having us. Friends for life.
Yes. Absolutely, we love that.
Ladies, thank you so much. That's it for today. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends to listen to, and we will be back very soon. How do I say goodbye?
Masalama.
Masalama.
Masalama, everyone.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.